Genesis 39, verse 20. Genesis 39, verse 20. So where we are in the life of Joseph at this point is he has been sold into slavery. If you remember, he had a dream that that he was going to be one that his brothers fall down and they prostrate themselves before him. His brothers got mad, his brothers got jealous, his brothers got angry, they sold him into slavery, they were going to kill him, they decided, we won't kill him, we'll just sell him into slavery. So they sold him into slavery. He ended up in the home of an Egyptian after he was bought again. So he was sold into slavery and then again he was resold into the hands of an Egyptian. That Egyptian, he rose to a place of taking care of the Egyptian's entire house. God had favor on him. And then the wife of this Egyptian, his name Potiphar, she made advances to him. He rejected those advances like he was supposed to do. And a scorned woman, she didn't take too kindly to that. She set him up. He ended up in prison because of this. She falsely accused him of things. He ended up in prison. So, this is where we are right here. And we are in verse number 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there, and it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. There's many things that could be talked about here. One of the amazing things to me that just jumps out at me, in verse number 21, it says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. When we think the Lord is with us, we think the Lord should deliver us. That is the normal thought. The Lord is with me. Why should I be in this prison? We often think, if the Lord is with me, then wonderful, I'm going to be released from the prison. If the Lord is with me, things are going to get better. If the Lord is with me, I won't be in this horrible situation for much longer. So we can apply the prison to our lives. This is part of what we're supposed to do. When we read the Bible, we are supposed to draw the parallels to our lives, make it applicable to our lives. This is not just some story. This is actually applicable to what happens in our lives often. Maybe you're not in a so-called prison right now, but maybe someday you will be. I'm not wishing that upon you. It is just the natural course of many of our lives. We get into tough situations. Now, you could think of that prison as some circumstance at your work. Maybe it's a boss that it does not know how to lead, that's taking you in directions that are not right. It could be some professor in school who's treating you unfairly. Maybe it's a relationship that you have at work or in your family. It could be all these things that are just, they weigh on your mind and you don't know how to get out of them. Oftentimes we pray and God still doesn't release us. And oftentimes we cry out to God and nothing seems to happen. And sometimes you just have to step back and realize that maybe God wants you right where you are. And you might not understand why, and you might not agree with it, and you might not want to be there. But sometimes God just wants you to be in a place that isn't that comfortable. And This is what we are referring to as the prison, as we bring this situation into our day and into our lives. There are just so many areas that this can apply to. You might be going through something that's stressful. You might be going through something that's difficult. And you don't know how to get out of it. And you've prayed, and it's not going away. You might be exactly where you are, because God wants you to be there, because God wants to teach you something, because God wants to train you in some way, because God is doing something much bigger in your life. And this is exactly what he was doing in the life of Joseph. Joseph was destined for greatness, but he needed to be changed. He needed to be molded. He needed to be shaped. And he wasn't going to get that molding and shaping in the favored lifestyle that his father had given him. He wasn't going to grow into anything that would be able to lead a country being the favored child of his father. And so God took him and knew his plan and knew his destiny and knew what he had created him to do. And God put him through all of these situations. And the amazing thing is, the verse tells us, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is with Joseph. Everything screams at us and says, if the Lord is with them, be released. Open the prison doors. And in fact, there's other places in the Bible where there are prisoners. There are literal prisoners, and God sends an angel and opens the prison doors. And yet this time, Joseph stays right in that prison. And not only that, the Bible tells us the Lord was with him in that prison. Now, this doesn't mean that, this by no means means that that you should stay in bad situations. You should stay in situations which are horrible. It does not mean that at all. But sometimes when we try, and we try every way to get out of something, we try praying, we try understanding how to do something, try and make things better, and nothing happens, then maybe God has you there for a purpose. Maybe God has you there for a purpose. The Bible does tell us that in for every temptation there is a way of escape. This is not saying if there's a way of escape that you don't take it. But it's saying understand that sometimes God will delay that way of escape until we learn the situation and we learn the lessons that he wants us to learn. It is often, especially in our culture, we often have the feeling that God exists to fix our problems. We often think that God is there so that we could call on him when we need him and he'll get us out of our issues. God doesn't exist to be our little genie in the bottle where we could put him on the shelf and when we need him, we call him. He's our king. He's our Lord. He's the one who rules our lives. He doesn't exist just to fix all of our issues. And it is an amazing thing that beyond the Lord being with him, it says that God had mercy on him. And then it goes on to say that God gave him favor. Favor. This doesn't look like favor at all. To you and me, think about yourself, if you were falsely accused, and then you're imprisoned, the prisons of this day were not the prisons of today, where there's some standard, it might not be the best standard today, but back then it was much worse. Back then, there were no amenities. There was no comfort. There was no TV watching. There was no anything of this sort. The food was probably not the greatest. The situation was not the greatest. There probably was very little hope. And in that situation, God says, "Yeah, he has favor." It doesn't look like favor at all. And so, bringing this back to our lives. Sometimes we're in those situations. Sometimes we're in those prisons. Sometimes we're going through something which is just so difficult and we can't get out of it. And we think, where is God in all of this? And in that situation, God still tells us through his word, I'm with you. And in that situation, God might even be pouring out his favor on you, but to the outside person, it sure doesn't look like it. And maybe even to you, it doesn't look like it either. God is having mercy on me. God is having favor on me. Why isn't the favor the way I want it? Why isn't the favor look like what I want it to look like? I want my favor from God to look like a release. I want my favor from God to get me out of here. I want mercy from God to know that this is going to end. And there is no indication of that, but yet God says, yeah, he has favor. You have favor. You have the mercy of God. And we often look at our situation and we wonder, where is God? Is God angry at me? Is God punishing me? Did I do something wrong that I'm in this place? And it might just be that you're misunderstanding God's direction for your life, that he is preparing you for something. The Bible tells us that God has fashioned us and made us to do great things. The Bible even tells us that we'll do greater things than Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We were all meant for something big. And in order to walk in that, God has to mold us and shape us into the image of Christ. And molding and shaping, as you know, might not feel good. It might press us in ways that we don't want to be pressed. It might shape us in ways we don't necessarily want to be shaped. And so the question is, in your prison, if you happen to be in some situation which you don't like, which is not favorable, which might be unfair, are you prospering in your soul? Are you prospering in your soul and in your ways? Are you growing in Christ through that negative circumstance? Because that's exactly what was happening to Joseph. You might remember from last time that as a boy, he was wandering through the fields. He was aimless. He was directionless. And God had to take this directionless, aimless, purposeless child and make him into a leader of Egypt. And this is what God is doing through that circumstance. You look at yourself and ask, how am I reacting to my bad situation? How am I reacting to my negative situation? What am I doing? Look at how Joseph is reacting. Look at what Joseph is doing. He's giving 100% even in a horrible situation. He was in prison. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to excel. He didn't have to take on more responsibilities. He didn't have to be the keeper of all the prisoners. Well, why would you want to take on that role? Why not just be a prisoner? It's not like he's going to get a 3-day pass every once in a while. But the character of Joseph came out. He says, I'm going to be a leader even in the prison. I'm going to give it my 100% even in a horrible situation. The character of Joseph is coming out even in his bad circumstances. Instead of getting bitter, instead of getting angry, instead of being filled with unforgiveness, instead of being upset at God for putting him in this horrible place, he says, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to show that this is who I am on the inside. And I'm not going to be overrun by my negative circumstance. I'm going to be better than that. And heaven noticed. The Bible tells us that there are times that we must go through the fire. We must go through the waters. But in each of those cases, the Bible says, when you go through the waters, they won't overflow you. When you go through the fire, they're not going to burn you. I'm going to be with you. He actually says, fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. It doesn't say I'm going to take you away from them. It doesn't say I'm going to remove you from the fire. It doesn't say that you're going to be able to avoid the fire. It says I'm going to take you through it. And I'm going to be with you through it. So fear not. Fear not means there's something to fear. Fear not means there's something that you could be afraid of. And in that situation, the Bible says, fear not. Not because you're in denial of the situation. Not because you think everything is great. Not because you have to say, this is wonderful, this is wonderful. It's not some mental game that you play with yourself. You fear not because God is with us. And He is with us in the prisons. And He is with us in the negative situations. And He sees how you're being treated. And He sees the unfairness. And He sees the injustice. And He looks at your reaction. And He looks at how you handle it. And He looks at what's going on in you. When we see it throughout lessons of the Bible, we see Daniel in the lion's den. God didn't take him away from the lion's den. He actually spent the night in the lion's den. There's the story of the three young boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they're thrown into the fire. God doesn't prevent them from going into the fire. He could have. He could have prevented that. But He didn't. And when they were thrown in the fire, they looked at it and said, there's a fourth person in the fire. And it looks like the Son of God. That's where you are. In your prison as well. You cry out to God. You can't get out of it. God might want you right where you're at for the moment. Doesn't mean for the long term. For the moment. But there's the fourth person in the fire with you. There's the fourth person walking around in the fire with you. And He looks like the Son of God. We're assured that God is with us. And what is He doing in this situation? Turn to, if you could put up Galatians 4, verse 19. Galatians 4, verse 19. Because God is doing something that is much bigger than what we think. We're usually so focused on the situation at hand that we must often miss the big picture. In Galatians 4:19 says this, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Because God wants to form Christ in us. God wants to make us Christ-like. Each one of us. And that's a labor sometimes. This is not talking about salvation. When you're saved, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you make that commitment to be baptized, you are saved. Salvation is not insured by baptism, but I say that because the Bible actually does say he who believes and baptized is saved. Baptism is definitely a line in the sand. It's a line in the sand. You say the Bible says do it. Many people, they can't do it. But the Bible says this is what you should do. If Jesus is your Lord, you do it. But this is not about salvation. This is about what we call sanctification. Forming Christ in you is about sanctification. Sanctification is a lifelong process. Salvation is an instant thing. You accept Christ. He forgives you. He changes you on the inside. That is done. That is a done deal. Sanctification, on the other hand, takes a long time. It's an entire lifelong process of us becoming more and more like Christ, going from glory to glory. taking one step at a time, one day at a time, becoming more like our Savior. And that's what's going on in this. And Paul says, I'm laboring for you. It is not a simple process. It is not sometimes it is a painful process. I'm laboring for you. And sometimes we feel those labor pains too. Sometimes we know that there is a lot of discomfort that goes along with all the things that are happening in our lives. Paul's laboring to have Christ formed in our lives. And God will keep doing that. God will keep trying to form Christ in our lives. And He will keep doing that in you until we say, we don't want any more. We don't want any more. This is it. We might not say it out loud. We might say it with our attitude and our actions. I'm good. I'm good the way I'm at. I got enough. I don't need to change anymore. I don't need to learn anymore. I don't need to be more Christ-like. I'm old and I'm in my ways and I'm set in my ways and I'm done. But we don't want to be that way. We want to receive from Christ and we want to move on and we want to move forward with Him all the time. We don't want to have a stubborn heart. We want to move on with Him. And we want to become more like our Master. Let's turn to Genesis 45, which is jumping to kind of the conclusion or one of the climactic portions of the story of Joseph. It's Genesis 45. I'm just going to read from verse 1, and I'm going to read 8 verses because it is really a great story. You should read all of it yourself. Before we get here, what happens is there's a famine in the land. The reason Joseph gets promoted to such power and such prominence in Egypt is because the Pharaoh of the day, Egypt has a Pharaoh. Pharaoh is actually a title of a position. It's not the name of a person. So Pharaoh is like the king. Or is the king, but Pharaoh is the name of the king, but I digress. And so Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph interprets the dream. The dream actually said there's going to be 7 years of plenty and we're going to harvest everything. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So indeed, exactly as God put in Pharaoh's dream and Joseph interpreted through the power of God, that's what happened. 7 years of plenty, Joseph was given the second position in command of Egypt. He restored all of the harvest. And now when the next 7 years came, now people were dependent on that storage. They were dependent on Joseph. Joseph's brothers now were affected by this. Joseph's family, Jacob was his father, they were affected by the famine. They had to come to Egypt as well. So now the people that sold him into slavery are right in front of his face. And indeed, the dream that Joseph had, it actually came true. It says that they came and they bowed down before him because it was God and there ain't no stopping God. And so now Joseph treated them harshly. Joseph made them jump through a bunch of hoops. And they didn't recognize him. So he recognized his brothers. They did not recognize him. This is where we pick up. Verse number 1, chapter 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by, and he cried out, "Make everybody go away from me." His brothers are standing right there in front of him. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." This is such a great line. "For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will neither be plowing nor harvesting. Another great, memorable line. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And we could stop there. It was not you who sent me to this prison. It wasn't you that put me in, that sold me into slavery. It wasn't you that did all that to me. It was God. He understood, finally, in this time, he finally understands this was God preparing me for what he wanted. This is God preparing me for the life and the destiny that he had planned before the world began. And God has the same kind of plan for each one of us. The Bible tells us that that is true, that he had a plan for your life before the world began. And sometimes we have to go through difficult things. And in the end, Joseph gets a glimpse and he says, I get it now. It wasn't you. It wasn't that boss. It wasn't that relative. It wasn't that circumstance. It wasn't that illness. It wasn't all these things. God had these things come into my life. And he was preparing me for a great deliverance. And he was preparing me for a great purpose. And he was preparing me for something wonderful. But in the middle of it, it looks terrible. And in the middle of it, it looks like nothing is being prepared. And in the middle of it, it often looks hopeless. But God is still the one in control. And God is still the one that's on the throne. And God knows how to work all things together for good. Even though it seems like no good could come from our circumstance. To the outside, it looks hopeless, but as God, as Joseph says, he sent me here to save. He sent me here not to destroy. He sent me here to preserve. He sent me here to preserve life, not to destroy life. He sent me here to save life. And that's what God's intention is. God has a good intention for your life. God has a good plan for your life. This is who God's character is. Worship team, could you come on back up now? This is the story of our God. This is the character of our God. Our God is one who is looking out for us. He is creating something good, even though we don't often see it. But we trust him and we believe in him that he is doing something good in our lives, and he is doing something that is beyond our vision often. Joseph didn't realize that he was being prepared. Joseph didn't realize that something good could come of this. Joseph probably had no idea. He tried to get out of the prison. He actually tried to get out of the prison. He interpreted dreams for two people in that prison. And one of them got out and he said, "Tell the king about me." And I'm almost certain that what would go through my mind is, hey, this guy is right next to the king. He has the king's ear. It was the king's cupbearer. Guy who stands right next to the king. And Joseph certainly was thinking, this is my ticket out. And it didn't happen. It was 2 years more. And that's what sometimes our prisons look like. We try everything we can to get out, and we can't get out. And during that time, if he was anything like me and anything like probably the way you are, you wonder, oh, is there a purpose here? Am I just going to stay here forever? And God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and God has something that is going on in the background, and in his great understanding of all things, as he's working all things out together for good. This is the character of our God, that he wants to save life, and he wants to preserve life, and he wants to bring us to an expected end. And through all of our circumstances, don't miss the fact that God might be having favor on you, even though it doesn't look like favor at all. Because if you've done everything you can, you know that God is still with you, and God's purposes are still being worked in your life if you let Him work them. If you turn to bitterness, and you turn to anger, and you turn to characters that are not Christ-like, God's plan cannot release you into your destiny. But if you allow yourself to be moldable, shapeable into the image of Christ, He can use your prison and bring you to the palace. Let Him do that. And let Him glorify Himself through the great things that He could do in your life. His name be praised. Worship team, would you come on and worship with a fire?